Courtside of the Virtual Hardwood, it's the NLSC Podcast, episode number 291. Andrew with you once again, and I am alone once again this week, but do want to get you a podcast this week. Don't want to miss any more weeks if I can avoid it. Want to catch up on the news. There has been some news about NBA 2K20 this week. Talked about that last week when I said the ratings reveal was coming. That did indeed come. We also have an update for NBA Live 19, a speculation on NBA Live 20, and a couple of other things to talk about as well. So let's get right to it with the NBA 2K20 ratings reveal that took place on July 15th, a live stream over on Twitter, the official NBA 2K Twitter account, at NBA 2K, of course. So they reveal the top 20 players in this year's game, as well as the top 5 rookies, the top 5 three-point shooters, the top 5 big men, and also the best duos as well. And along with that, they released a few screenshots that came through on the live stream, as well as a few that were posted directly on their Twitter account. And just recapping some of the highlights, you can go back and check out the article on the NLSC and see the complete listings of all those categories that I mentioned. But the two best active players in the game are LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard at 97 overall. This has obviously led to some debate, as it always does with the overall ratings. And having done the roster updates for many years for NBA Live, I do have to stress once again that overall ratings are overall quite overrated. I mean, they have their purpose because they're used to determine overall player value at a glance, and certainly it comes into play when you're trying to make trades with the CPU in the franchise modes, and obviously it's also become a big part of my career as well with the road to 99, although the NBA players' ratings, I guess, don't really impact that at all, except for, I suppose, what to aspire to. But it is something that it is overstated their importance, because the individual ratings are much more important. They never really let you know how the overall ratings are calculated exactly. I don't think we've ever really figured out a formula that's exactly explains the overall ratings in any game. Certainly, the higher the ratings, the closer to 99 overall it is. People are saying that, you know, maybe LeBron should be closer to 95, a little bit further down. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. He has taken a step backwards in some categories, as he's... I don't want to say getting up there in age, because I'm 2 months older than LeBron, so I don't want to talk about LeBron James getting old. It's not a good thought for me, I suppose. But I can certainly see that argument and don't necessarily disagree with it. That being said, still one of the best players in the league, and overall ratings, they will fluctuate throughout the season. Looking at some of the other players in the top five, Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, last year's cover player and MVP, 96, which ties him with Kevin Durant and James Harden. Steph Curry, 95, Anthony Davis, 94, Paul George, 93, Damian Lillard, 92, and Embiid and Kyrie Irving, 91, which rounds off the top 10. Some controversy, Russell Westbrook only being 90 overall and Klay Thompson, 89, so there's always going to be debate, as I said, but these ratings can fluctuate. These ratings are ones we can update ourselves, obviously. If there's anything looks wrong as far as the individual ratings go, we can edit them ourselves, just as they're going to fluctuate during the season when Mike over there at 2K is updating the ratings. He did talk on the live stream, Mike, about the process behind the ratings, if you want to go and check out that live stream again, so you can see the science, I suppose, behind the ratings if you want. As far as the top five rookies are concerned, not surprisingly, Zion Williamson, 81 overall, the top rating there. Steph Curry has a 99 in three-point shooting, followed by Klay Thompson at 97. Hard to argue with the Splash Brothers there. Top five big men, again, Anthony Davis is the top at 94, and Joel Embiid, 91 overall, and Nikola Jokic at 90. There was actually a funny situation with Nikola Jokic on Twitter, or not so much him, but somebody speaking out on his behalf and saying that he should be rated higher than a 90 overall, which is not necessarily a bad suggestion given the season he's had and given that he has established himself as one of the best centers and indeed players in the league right now. The NBA 2K Twitter, the official Twitter, responded, higher than a 90, tell Joker to get himself a Twitter account and we'll consider it. And the Denver Nuggets official Twitter account responded, quote tweeted and responded, and here we are thinking your ratings were based on how well you play basketball, with a shrug emoji. And a lot of people certainly responded positively to that and pointing out how ridiculous it sounded. Even if it was a joke, the idea that it's based on whether the players interact with 2K, if they suck up to them or whatever, that it's rather than how they play. It could be making a mountain out of a molehill here, and I don't want to go too overboard with this because it probably was meant as a joke, but it's just another one of those jokes that's fallen kind of flat because it goes against the supposed philosophy they have with the ratings. So hats off to the Denver Nuggets PR team there. Whoever's handling the Twitter account got them a beauty there, I suppose, with that one. That was, left yourself open to that one, whoever was running the 2K Twitter on that day and made that response. And certainly moving forward and always, you want to have the ratings reflect the player's real-life abilities. Overall ratings are going to be fudged a little bit either way to make players look the best in the league or try and get them in their appropriate ranking, I suppose. And that was always a problem. The two classic examples that I give from doing the rosters several years ago with NBA Live PC, Josh Smith and Steve Nash. Josh Smith, of course, was in the league fairly recently, but has kind of tapered out. He's been playing in China, I believe. But he was always difficult to rate because he'd have great athletic ratings. He had some pretty good defensive numbers, rebounding numbers, and of course dunking and everything. So he'd often have a very high overall because of the athleticism and the things that he was good at. But someone like Steve Nash, who wasn't necessarily as athletic, or certainly wasn't as athletic as Josh Smith, his overall would drop and be a bit lower than it would appear. And also not the strongest defender, Steve Nash, with all due respect to him, compared to other players at his position. So his overall would always look a little bit low. So you were always kind of trying to fudge it a little bit and see what you could knock up a few notches without making him overrated in other categories, just so his overall would look better, because some of those games didn't calculate it very well. So there's always that situation where the calculation of the overall rating makes them look better or worse than they should be, and you've got to look at the individual ratings, and that's something we'll see when the game comes out, and we have a glance at a few of them there with the three-point ratings. There was a screenshot came out with showing the overall, or rather the three-point rating of Buddy Hield, which is 90. So if you just had a glance at that, because most of the screenshots have listed the overall rating next to the player, so if you just had a glance at that and saw Buddy Hield 90, you might have been a bit shocked. But no, that's actually his three-point rating that's been listed there, and he is one of the top three-point shooters in the game, along with JJ Redick, Joe Harris, and the aforementioned Splash Brothers. So those ratings are subject to change, obviously. That's out-of-the-box ratings, or assuming they don't even change between then and now. So you can check those out, as I said, over on the NLSC. NBA 2K20 ratings reveal, more first-look screenshots. So you can check out the screenshots. They've also been posted in the forum as well. Shout-out to Wolfie03 for posting some of those screenshots in the forum and keeping on top of some of those news items for us and giving us a heads-up. On the subject of rosters, rather interesting news for NBA Live 19. This week, with the NBA Live 19 rosters being updated with off-season moves. Now, this is not common at all. It's not unprecedented, which I'll get to in a moment, but usually the games don't receive roster updates after the draft, simply because the season is over. They're only licensed to push through updates for the season the game is set in, so they don't usually bother adding any more post-draft moves. But in this case, they have actually added those off-season moves, such as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, as well as DeAndre Jordan to the Nets, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to the Clippers, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, and so on. So this is something we can do ourselves now that we have roster editing back in the game, which is really nice, although it's a little bit cumbersome since we don't have the trade players option in the roster editing. We can only assign players, so you can only move players around one at a time. That is something to fix up for NBA Live 20. We will get to NBA Live 20 in a moment as well. But it's nice to have it as the latest roster. It just allows us to play with the updated rosters. Although no new rookies have been added, which is kind of a shame, but also not surprising. I guess because they haven't been licensed for NBA Live 19. They'll be licensed for NBA Live 20 and NBA 2K20 and onwards, as long as they're in the league, of course. This is something that has happened before, as I mentioned. Most recently with NBA Live 16, they pushed through a post-draft update that included the Derrick Rose to New York trade when he went to the Knicks back then in 2016. Also, NBA Live 14 received a roster update, although it was pretty bare bones. They moved LeBron back to Cleveland as he went back there at the time, ready for the 2015 season. They didn't change his jersey number to number 23 again. It was still number 6, and Udonis Haslem ended up being the starting point guard on the Heat. So there were definitely mistakes in the rosters, and it was unfortunately the only one we got. So it was kind of nice to get that update, but not as detailed. A little bit more detailed this time. We've got the jersey numbers updated again with the player movement. No rookies added in those previous updates as well. And of course, if we go back a little bit further, NBA Live 10 also received updates when NBA Elite 11 was cancelled. And NBA Live 09 also received updates when NBA Live 10 was being updated with the dynamic DNA updates. Now, the situation with NBA Elite 11 in particular has people worried about what's happening here because, again, it's not unprecedented but certainly unusual for the current game to get next season's roster updates of any kind. So it has people speculating kind of worriedly about what this means for NBA Live 20. And this does tie into some other things that have been happening with NBA Live 20 or haven't been happening, as the case may be. It wasn't on display at EA Play, which we kind of downplayed at the time, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It hasn't been officially announced as yet. We don't have any preview media for it. No release dates. Nothing's come out with it. NBA 2K has tipped off their preview season, but we haven't heard anything about NBA Live as yet. And that does have some people understandably worried. Personally, I don't want to read too much into it because, again, there's been no official announcement of what's happening with the future of the series, or indeed just this year as well. But I can understand the concern because, again, this did happen with NBA Elite 11 and everything kind of went quiet before that got ultimately cancelled, and the same thing happened with NBA Live 13. We got a couple of things around about the draft, and I remember, and this is why I'm very cautious about reporting, because I know I was saying, oh no, it's definitely not cancelled, when news had gone quiet, and I even think I put out a news post at the time that said, oh, it hasn't been cancelled. And to defend myself on that one, at the time it had not been officially cancelled, so I suppose I could put that with the asterisk as yet. You don't want to jump the gun on this kind of thing, and as I said in my bulletin about it, I don't want to give legs to a baseless rumor. I don't want to stir up speculation unnecessarily, but I do have to acknowledge that speculation because it is going on, and it's understandable because we haven't heard anything about NBA Live 20 as far as official announcements. As noted over at Operation Sports, we haven't heard about a renewal of the license at the same time that 2K did, although I'm not sure they necessarily have it at the same time to renew, so that, again, that may or may not mean anything at all. And again, it does have people understandably worried that we haven't heard anything with August just a couple of weeks away, basically, and September 6th has already been revealed as the official release date for NBA 2K20, for all versions of NBA 2K20, the standard Digital Deluxe and the Legend Edition. So it is understandable that people are kind of worried about this. As I said, I don't want to jump the gun. I would be lying if I said I wasn't kind of worrying about it myself, and certainly it is concerning when you go back and look at how they went quiet before the situation with, well, even most recently NBA Live 17 or the drive to NBA Live or whatever that was going to be, how that kind of was just quiet and quiet, and then they just said, oh, we're going to return this year with NBA Live 18 later in the year, which turned out to be for the best, but the series is still struggled to gain a bit of traction, although it is getting more and more positive reviews. I do think not releasing would be a big mistake, unless they really just want to get a head start on the next generation. But again, are people going to give it the chance after all the problems with this last generation and going back to the end of the previous generation before that, the Xbox 360 PS3 generation? So I do think it's very risky if they're going to do that. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here in the idea that it's not coming out. At the same time, you have to acknowledge that it is kind of unusual to not hear anything at all. Although at the same time, there has been the rumors about Luka Doncic being the cover player, although that's not been confirmed. Zion Williamson, that rumor was actually shot down that he was going to be the cover player, or that he'd been approached to be the cover player. That's a rumor that had been shot down. So there is buzz about NBA Live 20, and we have seen developers and whatnot post previews of mocap sessions and things like that on social media, on Instagram and Twitter. So they are working on something. So it's not like they've just thrown the whole series in the trash and decided to scrap it completely and are just keeping quiet about it. Well, if they are, it's certainly a new development because they have been working on the game. So at the moment, we know that in a financial report for EA Sports that it is actually scheduled to come out in the last quarter of. So for now, it's basically being confirmed by the financial report. Whether it's, you know, whether the situation has changed, right now we can only speculate. And I know I'm waffling. I know I'm going back and forth. I guess in some respects, I'm trying to talk myself out of some of the worry that came to mind when people did mention the situation with these previous games getting the rosters and And of course, originally I thought, oh, well, it's the situation with NBA Elite 11 and NBA Live 10. That was kind of different to this because NBA Live 10's updates had finished. They weren't meant to continue. NBA Elite 11 was set to come out, and then when it was delayed and then officially cancelled, upon the announcement of the official announcement of the cancellation, it was also announced that the NBA Live 10 would continue to get roster updates. Everyone would get them free of charge, DNA just a dynamic DNA subscription or not. So the difference in the situation, I immediately thought, well, that is a different situation. We're reading too much into this. No correlation, etc. But then I did remember NBA Live 16 when it got its post-draft update. And of course, we did have that gap between Live 16 and Live 18. So, yeah, it's one of those things. But I really do hope that it isn't taking gear off or waiting till the new console generation. I do think that would be a mistake. I think that for all the criticism of NBA Live in recent years and some of the impatience with how it's gone this generation as it's tried to make its comeback, there's only so many chances people are going to give it. And certainly if you take another year off, or if you're going to only release it every second year or something, I don't know that that's necessarily going to... I don't think that's necessarily a good idea for the image of the series and the stability and the idea that it's a stable series that's on the way back. If they were to push through some major updates for NBA Live 19 or make it a very fairly cheap paid DLC to get it up to the 2020 season, that's an interesting idea, and I guess it's something they could do if all else fails, if they want to really put in the work onto developing NBA Live 21, I guess, for the next generation, that they have some major updates for NBA Live 19, whether this is testing the waters. Obviously, they've been going a fair way in post-release support for NBA Live 19 and still pushing through some gameplay tweaks and some official patches as of this month, basically, or as of last month, which is quite impressive that they've been doing that and welcome. And I said it last week, it's you want to get the game right, and I suppose it's never a great look to have patches and day one patches, and we all bemoan day one patches and multiple patches throughout the year that have to fix the game, and games back in the day didn't need patches. Well, they kind of did, they just didn't get them, you know? And situations, as I've said before, NBA Live 10, where the second patch really kind of ruined the game or really brought it down from the gameplay from a solid 8.5 out of 10 to maybe a 6.5, 7 at best because of some of the issues it introduced. So if they are pushing through patches that continue to improve the game as much as they can and also fix problems if previous patches cause new problems, then that's really for the best. And I'd much rather they continue to push through and release these patches and support games as long as they possibly can. I think that shows a lot of goodwill. I think it's good news potentially for the next game in the series because they can learn from their mistakes and get feedback from the community and really shape the next game based on what they do and really use the last few months of supporting the previous title as kind of an extended beta testing for the next game and just seeing what kind of ideas stick and what kind of tuning they need and what the community is really liking and disliking. It has its benefits, but I do understand the objections to it and the worry that it's changing the game too much. And certainly with the situation with NBA Live 20, I do understand the speculation, the worry over it, because it's kind of made me stop and think a little bit and wonder what's going on. And I do think they need to start talking about the game soon, if indeed it is coming out as scheduled and confirmed by the previous financial report. If that is still the case, then I do think they need to really start talking about the game very soon, especially with this speculation coming out. You can't let that go for too much longer. Either way, in fact, even if it is bad news, I think there's no benefit in delaying that bad news until we're close to September. Basically, if we're halfway through August and suddenly we're getting this confirmation about it, I think that's a bad look too. I think you've got to come out either way. Maybe the speculation will force some previews either way. But I really do want to see Live succeed at the end of the day because NBA 2K, for all the great things it's done, it's also gone in some directions that I don't like and I know other people don't like as well. And yeah, we need that second game at least, that viable alternative. And Live does have some good ideas. I do want to see them focus more on the NBA side of things and doing a few things that 2K does, not necessarily in the way that 2K does, but as far as being that realistic, sim-oriented NBA gameplay and a really strong gameplay that they were working on with NBA Live 10 and the Dynamic DNA and everything they were doing with Synergy back in the day. That was really moving it in the right direction. It just goes to show how much NBA Elite 11 really torpedoed the series, unfortunately, when you look back at it. Either way, this year we will be doing the 25th anniversary of NBA Live celebrations. It's obviously a bit of a damper on that if there is bad news regarding a release this year. But again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But I do want to get those features out this year. And one of the reasons I want to is that I was happy with some of the things I did for the 20th anniversary of NBA Live back in 2015, which was actually more the 21st anniversary, 20th anniversary of the PC edition anyway, PC version. But although I was able to get a lot of those features out, I kind of procrastinated on it, to be honest, and I didn't have a lot of the features ready to go when I launched, so it went into double, triple, quadruple overtime of releasing some features about that. And with the 25th rolling around, I decided, okay, I'm just going to do a reboot on this. I'm going to rerun some of that old content, although I'll update it a little bit with additional impressions and so forth. And I want to get some of the stuff, some of the ideas I wanted to do the first time around with the 20th anniversary content, I will be doing with the 25th anniversary content. That is certainly my intention anyway. Got some lot of great ideas to celebrate the series. Obviously, it's going to be a lot easier to celebrate the series if there's also a great new game coming out. We'll stay on top of that as much as we can. Either way, we will continue to have the 25th anniversary content, stuff for the old games. You can still talk about them in the forum, of course, and cover NBA 2K. I mean, that's what we do these days. We do cover all basketball games in general, so we will be covering that either way. And of course, you know, if any of the guys and girls from EA are listening, you know, definitely we're pulling for the game to succeed, and we're certainly happy to do whatever we can as far as sending along feedback and constructive ideas for the game and everything. So yeah, fingers crossed that it is just idle speculation at this point, because there's unfortunately nothing else to talk about. On the bright side, we do have updated off-season rosters for NBA Live 19. So to put a positive spin on it, I suppose, at least we have some good new content for the game that's out. It wasn't expected. It's a nice surprise. They have been updating the WNBA rosters, but for them to get the NBA rosters updated for the off-season, that was really cool too. So hats off to the developers for doing that. A couple of community announcements just want to make real quick. New versions of the UR Basketball mod by SkoAdam and Slim44 have been released for both NBA 2K13 and NBA 2K14 PC. You can download those now. The bulletin's on the main page. You can also check it out in those respective sections of the forum. They include updated 2020 season rosters, accurate as of July 14th, the latest upload. Also, uninjured rotations, new faces for many players, updated screens for association mode, the news that comes up when you start an association. It's all ready for the new season. Very cool little detail there. The 2K13 roster hadn't received an update for a couple of months, but it's been brought up to date with an end-of-season 2019 season roster. Got a few missing jerseys and real All-Star logos. Updated 2020 as well. So yeah, that's really cool to see that going on. It's something that we haven't seen as much of this generation, because people have moved on to the latest games. There's been less sticking around, but there's definitely a dedicated part of our community that's very interested in keeping NBA 2K 13 and 14 alive, which is really cool to see, because those are very solid games. There are some people who do just play on PC and don't have PCs that can run the latest version, or people who just simply prefer the old school, the older approach to games. And with some of the shift in focus in recent years to the more competitive online scene with NBA 2K and how that's affected the sim style of the offline gameplay as well, I can understand people sticking with the older games. It's a bit harder for me to go back, because there are things in the new games that I like, and I do play a bit online myself as well. So check that out, and hats off again to Sko and Slim for that. It's definitely a lot of effort they've put in with the ratings and everything. And you talk about overall ratings. I know a lot of the work they've done with the ratings is geared for both optimum simulated performance and gameplay. So they've really worked hard on those formulas. Sometimes it means some of the overalls look a little bit weird, and yeah, but the players play like they're supposed to. So that's again showing you that overall ratings aren't always as important as they seem. As far as my own modding projects, I'm certainly giving that a go. 2K11 rosters, I am still working on. I'm disappointed in myself for what's happened there. I intended to get rosters out at the beginning of last season. We're now in the off-season, ready for the next season, and I'm still working on it. A lot of setbacks, a lot of real life getting in the way, a lot of other content for the NLSC getting in the way, and other NLSC and real job and social life getting in the way of that one, unfortunately. I will be doing my best to get that up to date. I've put out a call in the forum for help with art assets. That is something I definitely need help with. May need to convert some assets from later games like 2K13, 2K14, as long as we can secure permission to do that. I'd really like to get 2K11 up to date. I know it's a beloved classic. It's a game that it was one of the first games that I really got into with 2K, and one of the reasons I always had problems with it, and I've mentioned this before in podcasts and in articles, is because of the isomotion controls. But it's a game I've gone back to a few times to finish the Jordan Challenge, for example, and found myself getting more used to it. More used to the controls now that I've actually played later 2K games and really got into them. So I've gotten more used to the controls, even though they don't have the right stick controls that I like. It's a game I've really come to enjoy it in 2K12. So at the very least, want to get something out for 2K11 and want to do some stuff for, again, the 25th anniversary of Live, getting some cool modding projects out there. I'm very leery of of making promises because I've been modding for a long time. I've been a content creator in the online basketball gaming community basically since I was 13 in 1997. So I've been at this a long time, and modding is something that I did burn out on some years back. So, but it's something that I try and get back into, but sometimes that burnout flares up again, especially when I hit a snag, which is what I've done a couple of times with the 2K11 rosters. But basically scrap the 2018 rosters, or just decided, no, I'm not going to bother continuing to get a final 2018 roster done. At the moment, trying to get a final 2019 roster done and just power straight through into 2020 and as best I can. And I'd love to get this roster done and get back into modding, because it is something that I do miss, as much as I've been burned out on it. It is something that I miss, because it's very satisfying to put it together, and when you see it all coming together and getting close to the finished product, and then when you get it all done and get it out there, it's very satisfying to do it. It is a form of artistic expression. It sounds a bit pretentious to say, but it's certainly a creative outlet. So I do enjoy doing it. I'll try and keep everyone up to date. I did get another comment on the teaser video I put out, and somebody asked, is it out yet? And like I say, it made me feel bad, because it really was something I wanted to get done last year, and everything just kept getting in the way. But let's hit the reboot on that and see if we can get it done for the 2020 season and a final 2019 season season roster, just to wrap it all up. And I'll also see if there's some other things we can do. I also messed around with the idea of a big three roster, because that's pretty easy, and a lot of the players, actually about 75% of the players in the big three this year, are actually in 2K11, so you don't even have to create them. So look out for that, because that's drawn some interest, and a few people have suggested that they might be able to help out with some artwork there. So yeah, stay tuned for some cool stuff, because it's definitely something I want to get back into. So that's going to do it for this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Do hope that I have a co-host back next week. Ben and I have been talking about a few topics that we want to discuss. That's Arcane, of course. And one of the topics that he brought up was whether career modes are really impacting the games negatively, and certainly having a negative effect on other modes as well. And I think that'll be a very interesting topic for us to talk about. So stay tuned for those discussions, as well as more news throughout the previous season. We'll be staying on top of it as best we can. But even if the news is a little bit slow, there's plenty of other fun things for us to talk about with basketball video games. So once again, stay tuned. Speaking of tuning into the NLC podcast, which comes out each and every week, or that is certainly the intention. We have missed a few weeks this year, but trying to get back on track with that. But you can tune in each and every week on the NLC. That's when it comes out, usually Sunday nights, Australian Eastern Time. We're also on various podcatching apps these days. We're on Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to us. We're also on Stitcher and Podcast Addict. As of this week, we're also on Spotify. I've been trying to get us on Spotify for a while, and now they're letting us submit to the directory without actually hosting it on other services. We can do a self-hosted show on Spotify now, so that's really good news. Basically, yeah, you can tune in all over the place and listen to us now. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Podcast Addict. Search for the NLSC, look for our logo, that will be us. Or once again, keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As we always say, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook at the NLSC. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. On YouTube, we are NBA Live Series Center. I'm also on Twitter at AndrewNLSC. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is all for episode number 291 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew. Go get buckets, everyone.